following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things gambling, fantasy, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. You can also find us on Podcast One, thanks to that Underdog partnership, which we greatly appreciate. For all of our returning listeners, if you could, just a reminder, if you could go down, give us a review, scroll down if you're on iTunes or something like that. Just give us a review. Those stars really help. If you could write a review, that's even better. If you're first listening to the show for the first time, thanks a lot. If you could, give us some stars after you listen and sample the material, we'd appreciate that as well. And also, you know, I usually do kind of a waiver wire section. We're not really going to do that anymore because we're so deep into the season. But, you know, you can pay attention to, of course, the fantasy recommendations that we give. And then also we push our rankings to Reddit. So if you need some waiver wire help, you can check there too. So, Brad, we have, a less busy week than last week, but I think we can dig right in if you're good with that, man.
I'm ready, buddy.
All right. So right off the bat, Thursday night, your Green Bay Packers are getting 2 points. So it's Green Bay plus two at Seattle. What do you think?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And the way I see it is they're kind of similar teams at the moment. They both have a quarterback keeping their teams afloat. And on both sides of this ball, it seems like these teams are a little bit shells of themselves, what they used to be maybe a couple years ago. But that doesn't mean on any given Sunday, I know cliche, but that they can't give you that old show that they used to bring. And I'm not trying to be a homer here, but I think that Green Bay starts to roll a little bit from here on out. And I think that they go in there and get this win and definitely cover. And I think they take this one out, even in Seattle.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, Seattle, we said it last week, in Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh is a tough place to go in and play. It was Carolina. And, you know, we were saying, you know, you never know what happens on a Thursday night, yada, yada, yada. But we both picked Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, of course, you know, went running away. I don't think that this game is going to be that game by any means. I agree with what you said, though, Brad. I mean, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, two of the best quarterbacks in the game. They're just keeping both teams afloat. I do think Green Bay getting 2 points is going to cover this game, but I do think it's going to be a competitive one. I think it's going to be lower scoring than some people might think, but again, you know, it's Thursday. You never really know what's going to happen. Fantasy-wise, I think Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, I think, has an okay game, but probably below his standards at an 18. Once again, for everybody listening, we use DraftKings scoring mechanism, so it's a PPR and everything like that. Aaron Jones looked really, really good last week, huh, Brad?
He played amazing, man. I mean,
that was the first time I remember the running back doing anything in Green Bay. And like,
well, yeah. I think it's, yeah, since Ryan Grant or Amon Green, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's been quite a while. But I think he has a nice game, you know, at a 12. So he might be a nice little budget play on Thursday. I don't think Jamal Williams is going to do much. The receivers, we'll see what happens with the health of them. But, I think Davante Adams is a solid play regardless at an 18. Who's going to play? Is it St. Brown? Is it Valdez? Is it Scantling or Scaling, Brad?
Scantling.
Scantling. Yeah, it's they have a lot of receivers with two last names. So
they do.
So anyway, but I think whoever plays at this wide receiver core, I think, is a decent play. Jimmy Graham, I have having a kind of an okay projection at a 7. That's not a world beating projection. Russell Wilson, I have that similar, like maybe that 18 range. Carson, if he plays, I think he plays well. Davis, if he plays, I think he plays well. Penny, I think if he plays, he plays well. But, you know, I'd only take two out of the three. If Carson plays, he's your running back, in my opinion. If he doesn't play, I think you got to start looking towards Penny now. Wide receiver, I'm probably not going to play anybody other than Lockett. I do think Lockett gets in the end zone this week against Green Bay, and that's really it for the pass catchers. By the way, Brad, I should say last week you were 9-5. Congratulations. Wow. On a great week. I was 8-6. Nice. I would say that's a good week, not a great week. But Brad, nice comeback. I had beaten you, I think, 2 weeks in a row, and you're back on top there. So congratulations. But hey, we're all profitable, right? So that's what matters.
Colin had a bad week.
Oh, Colin? Yeah, screw that guy. Nah, I like Colin. I like Colin Coward. What else? Oh, yeah, and I correctly predicted, by the way, that Julio Jones and Keenan Allen would get in the end zone. So it's yeah, you know, people say, oh, yeah, of course you bet Julio is going to get in the end zone. But I think he's got 5 touchdown passes over the last, like, 40 games. So it's
yeah, it's really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, predicting when he's going to get the end zone, especially in daily fantasy, that's an important one. So I'll throw that out there. You know, we had a pretty decent week for daily fantasy last week. Again, I urge everybody to go out and check out the Reddit rankings, which should be up on Wednesday by the time you're listening to this show. But anyway, Brad, let's move it over. So Cincinnati, I couldn't get a line because, you know, Flacco, his injury situation, his status is up in the air. Obviously, if Flacco doesn't play, you know, Cincinnati is that line is going to swing heavily, I think, in Cincinnati's direction. I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to get a lot of love from Vegas, but we have Cincinnati versus Baltimore. Brad, let's just, for the sake of the show, pretend that Flacco will play and is healthy. You know, what would you put that game at in terms of, you know, spread?
I would put Baltimore as about a 6-point favorite.
Yeah, I have it. I have them at about a 4.5. So I mean, we're right there. It's more than the field goal game, maybe less than a touchdown. I agree. You know, we'll see what happens with the injury situation. But for now, I mean, I wasn't able to pull a line for this podcast. But in terms of fantasy, I'm not loving. Look, you know, Baltimore's defense, it's always good. You know, it doesn't matter what generation, they're just always good for. You know, it's good to have that stable force back there protecting the line. But for fantasy, I would say Dalton is probably a sit this week. I have him at a 15. That's below average. Mixon, I have having an okay game at a 12. Wide receiver, we'll see what happens with AJ Green. Is he going to be back? I don't really know how significant his injury was, but I have him playing okay at a, you know, at a 15. I have Boyd at a 14, but really Boyd's value is dependent on whether or not Green plays. If Green doesn't play, then all the heavy coverage rolls over to him, and I don't think he's that dynamic you know, wide receiver that can get things going. And then you know, Cincinnati should target the tight end quite a bit this week, Uzuma, but you know, he's so hit or miss whether or not he's going to find the end zone, and he needs to find the end zone to have any kind of value. Now in Baltimore, if Flacco does play and if he's healthy, I have him having a nice 22. I have Collins playing pretty well and Javorius Allen, Buck Allen playing pretty well. Yeah, I know Baltimore made a trade there, but those are still my two preferred running backs in that backfield until I've proven otherwise. At wide receiver, I think Crabtree and Brown play well, but I would take a step back on Snead this week. I have him projected poorly. And then I just stay away from the tight ends because they spread it around too much in Baltimore. Moving it on, this is actually a nice one. I think this got flexed up into Sunday Night Football, if I'm not mistaken. But we have Minnesota plus 2.5 at Chicago, Brad.
Wow, this is a nice game, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe the surprise of the year is Chicago, you know, and if they're not the surprise of the year, they're right up there. I mean, I don't, especially us, we never saw them have a winning record and playing so well.
Yeah, my big question coming into the season was Nagy going to have that kind of impact on Trubisky that like McVay maybe had on Goff, and we didn't think it was going to be that, you know, that pronounced because that was quite the impact, and McVay is, you know, I think everybody knows in NFL circles now, McVay is a really, really, really good head coach and will be for some time. But yeah,
I mean,
Trubisky,
think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Sean. Sorry to interrupt. But, you know, if this game was in week one, you know, it'd be Minnesota 7-point favorites on the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how far this thing has shifted. And it's not because Minnesota is devalued. I mean, maybe they're not as good as people would have assumed. But, man, they're squeezing everything out of Trubisky. The guy's faster than everybody thought. All of a sudden, he's got speed, and their defense is incredible. That being said, I still have to go with Minnesota. I think they have more firepower. And, you know, as you get more tape and more tape and more tape on a guy like Trubisky, he's going to have to do certain things. That is a real factor in the NFL. So on a hunch, I'm going to go Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brad. I think that, you know, Minnesota, I think they were on a bye week last week, too. They got some rest. Dalvin Cook's still getting healthy. This team's a little bit different when he's in the lineup. Cousins, you know, they're going to be able to score. And I know Chicago's defense is tough. And Brad, I think we've been a little bit, we've probably been a little disrespectful for what Chicago has been accomplishing this late probably. In the season, right? But, you know, I think Minnesota comes back. Their defense looks so much better the last time they played. I think it was against Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, 2 weeks ago. You know, Griffin is back. That makes a big impact. You know, I just think that Minnesota needs this game a little bit more than Chicago does. But this is one of those things, like, I remember when the Rams played Seattle last year. It was kind of early in the season and the Rams were flashing a little bit. I remember them playing, Seattle, and I remember thinking, this is a young team and this is the kind of game that, you know, the veteran team comes in and they really give that, you know, the young and up and comers a tough shot. And how they respond to that game is going to tell me a lot. And that's the same thing here. I mean, Chicago, if they win this game, they have basically flexed their muscles and have taken complete control of the division, right?
Is it possible, Sean, that simply the addition of Khalil Mack has changed everything, not just talent level, but culture and attitude and focus? I don't know. I'm just putting this out there. It's like they got him and all of a sudden – they're the monsters of the Midway again. It's really quite fascinating.
Well, coming into the season in our preview, I remember, I think it was our very first episode, I had said that, you know, Chicago was a bad team last year, but they were a team that was relying on defenses, like holding everybody to like 9 points, and the defense was holding everybody like, you know, 13 points. And I remember thinking, man, their defense is good. If they can just squeeze an extra like 7 points, basically, if Nagy has that McVay and Goff factor, I remember telling you, Brad. I remember thinking, man, they could be a really good team if they can get that impact out of their offense. Now, you and I both didn't think that they would get this kind of impact out of their offense. Now, to your point, a very good defense. You add a player like Mack, who you can move him around a little bit. He's going to be a terror for the pass rusher. I mean, he came in game one, like the week of the trade, and absolutely decimated Green Bay, man.
Right.
And, you know, having that kind of impact player come into a defense that's already a pretty good defense, I mean, that really does give you a lot of confidence, I think, because you have basically a defense that can, in certain weeks, outscore the offense. And we saw that with Chicago versus Buffalo like a week or two back. So, yeah, I mean, this is a culture shift. I think everybody, you know, I'm in Chicagoland. Everybody's very excited here. You know, I keep kind of waiting to see what Trubisky's going to do, but he gets better every week, man. I mean, this is a team. This is a team for sure.
Right.
So I'm with you, Brad. I am going to take Minnesota, like I said. Fantasy-wise, I think Cousins actually has a nice game against this tough defense. I'm not high on either running back, Cook or Murray. Now, if for some reason Cook doesn't play or Murray doesn't play and there's only one running back, then I am a little bit higher on him. But sharing the duties back there against a tough defense, I'm not liking it. Diggs, I think, has an okay game at 11. I still think Thielen's going to have a really good game like he's been having all year. I have him high into the 20s. So that's basically a game so good that you can afford the budget. So go ahead and buy your Thielen this week. You know, I don't think any of the other pass catchers are going to do well for Minnesota. Minnesota. For Chicago, I have Trubisky having a nice game at a 22. So if that gives you any sense of what my computer projections are telling you, it's that Trubisky, from a fantasy point of view, will outscore Cousins, which I don't think I was prepared to say that before the 2018 season, but here we are. At running back, I think Cohen is your only play. I stay away from Howard. You know, running against Minnesota is tough enough. You know, the Chicago only runs Howard up the middle at this point. His value is only for touchdowns, and I don't see a lot of quality goal line carries happening for Howard this week. At receiver, I think Allen Robinson, now that he's back, you can play him for sure. And I stay away from the other pass catchers except for Burton. I think Burton will have a nice game. Okay, Brad, let's move it. Carolina -4 at Detroit.
Oh, man, you never know what you're going to get when you go into Detroit or with Cam Newton. I mean, geez, you know, I'm going to take Detroit as an upset here. That's where I'm going.
It's funny, you know, so I'm I think Carolina's going to win this game, especially getting their butts handed to them in Pittsburgh on Thursday night last week. They have long rest. I think Carolina wins, but I think Detroit's going to cover the spread. Detroit is super desperate. and they need to make something happen. I don't think they're as good as Carolina, but you know, I'm deferring basically to my computer rankings here. When I was writing the score down myself, I thought Carolina 30, Detroit 17, if that gives you any inclination, but my computers are shouting at me to take Detroit, and because of the inconsistency from Cam Newton and the inconsistency from Detroit, I'm just going to just go with the computers here, and I'm going to take Detroit, but that's not with any conviction, so I'm not recommending, you know, if you're taking our word as gospel, do not put money on this game. Moving it to the fantasy side of things, I think Cam Newton has a nice game at a 22. I think McCaffrey has a nice game at a 21. At receiver, I don't really like any of the pass catchers, though, so that means that Cam Newton's getting most of his value on the run. Olsen, I think, will have a decent game at tight end at about a 7. Now, in Detroit, I think Stafford has a nice game at a 20. Running back, I think, you know, if he's on your fantasy rosters, I think he played Johnson, but daily fantasy, I don't know that I would buy him. I have him sub 12, which isn't great. A wide receiver, we still don't know what's going on. I know Jones went out with the injury. I think Galladay is really your only safe play here. Who's ever getting, you know, this quality third receiver reps. I projected that at TJ Jones last week, but I would not do that again this week based on what I saw. But I have that third wide receiver doing pretty well, and then I stay away from the other pass catchers. All right, Brad, moving it to Tennessee plus 3 at Indianapolis.
Boy, did Tennessee just come off a big win, huh?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? As well as we did, I know we both took New England, and I had New England in parlays last week. So I mean, like, you know, yeah, you still win money, but man, you want those parlays to hit, and they screwed me. So yeah, good for Tennessee, man. They came out and they came out with playoff like intensity. New England just looked flat. They're going into bye week, which is a bummer because New England always like covers after a loss,
right.
And they always also cover after a bye week. So those are basically two gimme wins now turning into one gimme win. So next week I'm taking New England. I don't care what the spread could be 30, and I'm taking New England next week.
Yeah, I'd say that'd be a smart choice.
Yeah, so you know, I don't care who they're playing. I don't care what the spread is. I'm taking New England coming off the bye week and a loss. But anyway, back to Tennessee. Yeah, man. I mean, they looked so good. They were basically imposing their will on New England. I would say it was a physical game, and it's the brand of football that Tennessee tries to play. It's not a brand that's going to work week to week. But it certainly worked against the Patriots, so good for them. But what do you think about the game, man?
Yeah. Sorry, Sean. You know what it reminded me of? You know how the Golden State Warriors are just so good, and they could pretty much win any time they're all in, and then maybe they come across a game that doesn't really matter, and they're just not too into it, and they don't get the job done. But it's not because they're not much better than the other team.
Right.
I don't know. It just kind of reminded me of that. You know, it's hard to get up every week. So I guess back to this Tennessee and Indy game. I don't think Tennessee is that good, I guess would be my point. You know, I think that New England just came across a trap game possibly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, and I guess even they're susceptible to it, you know, probably happens to them every so often. But Indy is hot, man. I think that Andrew Luck, I think he gets it done. He's playing well, no?
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Andy's playing well, and he's a different quarterback with Marlon Mack back. I've been saying that for a couple weeks now. And, you know, I know Jacksonville shut down the run, but you had to respect it. You know, I don't think Luck has lost a game since Mack has been back, and I think that's going to continue this week. No disrespect to Tennessee. Well, actually, I guess we do. We are disrespecting Tennessee by definition, aren't we? So,
pretty much.
Yeah. But, no, I think Luck is playing well. This team's on a tear. You know, they started really cold while Luck was a little bit rusty too, and while Mack was out, and now they're just winning games at a pretty impressive clip. I'm going to take Indianapolis. And Brad, so far, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're 5 games in, and we've agreed every time, which that doesn't happen often. But so far, so much for the Get Paid podcast. We are in full agreement. I am taking Indy. I think this is a close game, but I do think Indy will cover that spread. Now, let's see. In terms of fantasy, I have Mariota is a sit. I think Deion Lewis. Actually, I think Collins is going to score. Not Collins. I'm sorry. Henry is going to score more than Deion Lewis this week, which I don't project often, but I do think that will be the case this week. That means I think Henry will find the end zone. Wide receiver, I think you can play Davis, but I'd probably sit all other pass catchers in Tennessee. For Indianapolis, I have Luck having an okay game. Remember, this is a tough Tennessee defense. I think this is going to be kind of a slugfest throughout. Luck, I have him at a 19. So if he's your fantasy quarterback, I think you can play him. I just wouldn't necessarily invest a lot of daily fantasy capital in there. I think Mac is a play, an okay play at an 11. Not a great play, but an okay play. I think Hilton scores this week. I think he gets in the end zone. Remember, I got the Julio and the Allen in the Chargers touchdowns last week, which those are very elusive. They're like snow leopards. You don't see them very often, even though you get a lot of catches and yards. So I do think Hilton gets in the end zone this week. And I like both tight ends, but Ebron, man, three touchdowns last week. You know, you gotta keep going with Ebron, even with Doyle back. All right, Brad, I want to talk about betonline.ag just a little bit. We are past, if you can believe it, past the midway points of the NFL and college football seasons, and each game becomes more important. In the NFL, the Saints, Rams, Patriots, the Chiefs, they're all emerging as teams to beat, while Carolina, Pittsburgh, and San Diego are all playing very strong. I shouldn't say San Diego, it's the Chargers, the Chargers of Los Angeles and Houston. They're all playing very, very strong. In college football, Alabama is clearly the best team to beat. And then, you know what, Notre Dame, Clemson, Michigan, they're all nipping at the heels as well. There is only one place to get in on all the action. It's betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code podcast1 to receive that 50% sign-up bonus. That's podcast1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. And the NBA, Milwaukee, Toronto, Golden State, Denver, they're all starting off hot. And the NHL, you have Nashville and Toronto atop the standings. Don't miss out anymore on all this incredible action. Go online and use your mobile phone to sign in and use promo code podcast1. That's all spelled out, PODCASTONE, podcast1, to receive that 50% welcome sign-up bonus. And try in-game betting live where you can and participate with all the action everywhere you can on every play. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and partners of Podcast One Sportsnet. Whether you're competing, training, or recovering, Under Armour has created the best performing gear to make you better. Brad, I love Under Armour, man. I'm always working out. I'm always on the treadmill. I'm always lifting weights, man. How about you?
My favorite. So great.
Yeah, so great. And with two exciting new collections, Vanish and Perpetual, Under Armour is ready to help you focus on performance and take your fitness game to the next level. Vanish, I love it. It's engineered to be more breathable. Like I mentioned, I'm on the treadmill all the time. I'm always doing that high-intensity stuff, so I'm sweating buckets. Vanish, it makes you feel lighter and less distracted while you're working out. It's lightweight, like I said, quick drying. It's not going to cling you or chafe you. It's going to stretch without absorbing that sweat. Very, very important when you're working out. And now Under Armour also has the best fitness apps to help you track and put that gear to the test. My personal favorite's Map My Run. I love it. You can you connect it with your smartwatch. You can map out different routes. I love to change scenery, and I love to keep track of what I did too. And Under Armour's connected running shoes, you can use that piece of smart technology as well. It's awesome. The world is changing, Brad. We get so much technology here, and Under Armour is on the cutting edge of fitness science. You definitely want to pay attention. And if you sign up for premium, you can unlock even more tools to help you achieve your fitness goals. Everybody, download Under Armour's Map My Run. You can also download My Fitness Pal, the calorie counting mechanism as well, in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Get your 30-day trial of premium for new users. Take control of your fitness goals today. Under Armour. Okay, Brad, moving at Dallas, +3 at Atlanta. Interesting game.
Oh, I think Atlanta takes this one. I mean, their defense is poor. You know, they can't get off the field often. But, you know, Dallas, I think that they just kind of fooled everybody by going into Philadelphia and getting a win. I don't know what's going on in Philly. Maybe they're coming off a Super Bowl high, you know, and now they're crashing a bit. But I think Dallas reverts back to that old, bland, stale formula. And if they could just manage to stop Zeke Elliott, who was awesome the other day, by the way.
Right.
You know, you just stop him a little bit, and then then you got them. You know, they can't do what they want to do well. So I think they're easily going to make that happen. I think Atlanta covers.
So it's interesting. I'm with you, Brad. I'm going to take Atlanta, but the I would say the devil's advocate here for Dallas is that since they got Cooper, the offense has kind of changed a little bit and gone back to the old Dez days where they're throwing and they're featuring a wide receiver. And then they're sprinkling in, well, I shouldn't say sprinkling in, they're using very liberally Zeke Elliott. And that, to me, since they've done that, the offense has looked better. I still think they're going to be stale. I still think Atlanta's going to win because Atlanta, at this point, if they don't win, their playoffs chances are very, very tough. And that NFC is so clogged right now, too, because even though Washington is, I think at this point they are 6-7-3, 6-3, something like that. Yeah, they're two up on the win column. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are both 4-5. I do think Washington is going to kind of fall back to earth once the division starts plugging in. So I really think this NFC, the wild card race, is just wide open. You have Seattle in it, a couple teams everywhere, basically. Green Bay's still in it. You have Minnesota still in it, especially depending on what happens this week. So, you know, Atlanta's as desperate as Dallas, but I think they have the better quarterback here. I think they have the better skill players here. I think they will rebound. Now, in terms of fantasy, I think Prescott actually has a good game this week. I think he'll get a 22. And I think Zeke is a monster play this week. I'm finally going to invest in Zeke Elliott, which I haven't been doing lately. I have him in the high 20s, low 30s. But receiver, I'm playing Cooper this week. He's getting a lot of targets. I think he'll get over 10 targets this week. I think he'll get around 8 catches and a good chunk of yards. Whether or not he'll get in the end zone, I do not have him projected to get in the end zone, but you know, he'll get the opportunities, so I'll do that. And if you're looking for a sleeper, Swaim at tight end, I think, will be a nice sleeper for you. And now in Atlanta, I think Matt Ryan scores well. I think Tevin Coleman scores well at running back. I think Julio scores well, but I do not have him getting in the end zone this week. And I think Calvin Ridley is going to pop this week, and Sanu is not projected very well. So I think it's basically Jones and Sanu would be your stack with Ryan, in my opinion, and then you can sprinkle in Coleman if you want. And then I also have Hooper having a very nice game this week, you know, above average at a 14 for sure. So that's a nice play for you at tight end, especially if you need one off of waivers, because Hooper is generally available. Okay, so Brad, we have Tampa Bay even at the Giants.
Oh, God. Ugh, Eli Manning, come on. He did have that nice drive last night, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. We got that right. That was one of the ones we got right.
Beautiful. Yeah. God, I hate to say this, but just the fact that the Giants are at home, I think if I had to put money on it, which I will not, I think that I would pick the Giants to win this game. What about you, Sean?
You know, I don't feel good about it. This is basically just you know, eating garbage out of the dumpster kind of game for me. I'm not into it, but I am actually going to take Tampa Bay. Here's the thing. So, Brad, last week I made that spirited case that Tampa Bay was the play against Washington. And by the end of it, you agreed with me, but you kept your pick. So congratulations. I think that was the one pick that, you know, basically made the difference between you winning the week and being tied. So congrats for
Thank
sticking
you.
To your guns there. But here's the thing about Tampa. It was the weirdest thing. So I watched that whole game, and Tampa got inside the Washington 25, I think 6 or 7 times in that game. And they walked away with 3 points.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah,
if they just kicked
bad.
Field goals the whole game, they would have covered the spread. I don't know, man. It was so weird. But Tampa Bay's offense is moving the ball. Now, here's the thing. If Cutter gets weird and he ends up benching Fitzpatrick for, Jameis Winston. If he ends up benching him, you know, in the middle of the week because of, you know, poor play or something like that and turnovers, then I'm completely on board with the Giants. But assuming Fitzpatrick plays again, I'm going to be there. But again, I wouldn't wager money on it. I think this is going to be a weird game, and that's why it's even money. For fantasy, assumes Fitzpatrick plays a full game and everything, I have Fitzpatrick at a 22. I actually have Barber doing pretty well. I don't say that in Tampa. I think this is the first time all season I've said that, but I have him in the at the 10. So in terms of daily fantasy, that's actually probably going to be a nice little score for you because his budget will be fine. At receiver, I have all these receivers taking a step back this week. Although if you're looking for a sleeper, I think this is the week that maybe Humphreys steps out. And then at tight end, I think Howard will have a nice game. He should bounce back from his last week in Washington. Now for the Giants, I think that Manning has an okay game at a 19. I think Saquon is a definite play and definitely worth the daily fantasy budget. I have him at a 25. I think Beckham will score very well against this Tampa Bay team. I have him also at a 25. Sterling Shepard is an okay play for me at a 14, but again, in terms of daily fantasy sleeper, I think that's a nice budget play. If you have Shepard on a deep roster, you're desperate for a wide receiver, he's a nice one to pick up or play this week. And then I think Ingram, again, this is another thing I don't say often, but I think Ingram finds the end zone this week for the Giants at tight end. Okay, Brad, moving it on now. Philadelphia +7 at New Orleans.
Wow, man, New Orleans is just...
Ooh, they're on a tear.
Fire.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the hottest team in the league. And how many straight have they won? Because they lost week 1, didn't they? And what's their current record?
It's got to be. It's got to be like 9-1 or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something like that. I'm looking at it now, but yeah, they just are putting it on everybody. They're 8-1. There's not. I have no reason to believe that Philly could possibly cover this game, so I'm going to go Saints.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I know my gut tells me to agree with you, but I'm going to defer to computers here. I'm going to take Philadelphia because they're actually in unison to pick Philadelphia, and my computers are generally right more than we are. So I'm going to take Philadelphia this week. I don't love it, but I am going to take them at least just for interest. Now, how are they going to get it done? I don't know. You know, I was talking with my brother about Philadelphia. It's interesting. He's like, hey, why is Philadelphia struggling so much this season compared to last year? And he knows I watch, you know, basically all the games every week. And I'm like, you know, if I had to put my finger on it, I would say that last year when I watched Philadelphia, their defense was so fast and they were unblockable. They were always in the backfield. They were always like, you know, blowing up running plays and getting to the quarterback. This year, I'm not seeing it. So I think the offenses have caught up to Philadelphia's defense a little bit. And maybe, you know, maybe some free agency losses. Maybe I don't really know what it is, but they just don't look as dominant defensively. And then on the flip side, of course, they lost two coaches. Reich is the head coach in Indianapolis, and DeFilippo, their quarterback's coach, the guy who probably would have been the offensive coordinator, went to Minnesota to run that offense. So it's all Doug Peterson on offense. Maybe he's a little overextended. Either way, Philadelphia has definitely taken a step back. I do think New Orleans wins this game. I see it as a 3-point game, Philadelphia fighting for their lives and their pride. But I think it'll be an interesting one to be sure. I have Wentz scoring in terms of fantasy. Wentz scoring a 26. I love him in fantasy this week. I have the running backs doing very poorly against New Orleans. I think Jeffrey has a bounce back week at a 17. I think Aguilar will score well at a 16. Tate, I think he's still going to get acclimation, or he needs an acclimation period to the offense. I think he'll be involved, but probably not be a fantasy impact player. And then Ertz is a 15. I think he play at this point. He's even worth the fantasy. Daily fantasy budget every week. He's just a monster. New Orleans, I think Breeze has a 22, which is a nice game. I don't think he'll repeat his 5-touchdown effort. At running back, I have Kamara at a 22 and Ingram at a 10. So actually, I think both are nice plays, but Kamara is definitely the running back to play there. Mike Thomas, I think, is going to have a huge game at a 29. That bodes well for my personal fantasy team because I have him. I also have Alshon Jeffrey, so that's going to be a nice game for me. Let's see, at tight end, I don't really have Watson or Hill, either one of those really doing much against Philadelphia this week. Okay, Brad, moving it. Houston, this is an interesting game to me. Houston -3 at Washington.
It is an interesting game, man. And you know, Washington's playing well. I mean, you would know better than I. How are they looking?
You know, their defense, like I said, I mean, they should have lost that game last week. Tampa Bay, like every time they got in the red zone, they either missed a field goal or turned the ball over. They were giving up yards. To me, I feel like Washington was dominated. But hey, man, what matters is what they put on the scoreboard. Washington was forcing those turnovers. You know, they punched a ball out. They got, I think, two picks in that red zone area. So, look, this defense is for real. Their offense is still, to me, I can't even call them frauds. They're just a really bad offense, man. This narrative in the offseason that Smith was an upgrade over Cousins, I mean, he's not. You know, if Washington has this defense last year, you know, they would have been a playoff team. They took a step back on offense. They're really strong on defense, so kudos and hats off to their defense. But, you know, this is a game that Washington is this is the type of game that Washington wins. You know, a game against a tough defense, they'll probably eke out some points. They're playing a different tough, you know, defense. The offense over there is struggling a little bit. I don't know. I mean, this is a game that Houston should be able to win, but this is a game that Washington usually wins in a slugfest. But did you make a pick, Brad? Sorry, I missed it if you did.
Excuse me, Sean. No, I did not make a pick. You know, I'm gonna have to go with Houston. I think they have a lot of firepower. You know what, dude? Let me give some love to Washington. Let me take that back. Washington, stand strong at home. Washington all day, baby.
Yeah, especially they're getting points. I'm with you, right, man. This is a game that could be like a 3-point game either way, in my opinion. So to me, this is like a Houston push or a Washington win, or Washington cover, I should say. I'm going to take Washington. I wouldn't bet my money on it because this is a game that Watson, after a bye week, come out and throw, you know, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. And Washington just is not going to win a game where they're above, you know, where they have to score more than 24 points. Here's a weird stat for you, Brad. The entire season for Washington, we're in week 11 now, there has not been one lead change in any of their games.
That is odd.
That is very odd. So this is a team that has to be ahead to win. They have to establish the run and run the ball down the throat, and they're a team that cannot come from behind. So if Houston jumps out to an early lead, I'm taking Houston maybe in those live betting spreads. But, Washington, when they become one-dimensional, they have to pass. They can't win. So it really is dependent on Washington shutting down Watson and being able to run the ball with Peterson. But I do think that it'll be a close game, and I think Washington will cover. For fantasy, I think Watson has a nice game at a 22. I don't think the running backs do very well here. Lamar Miller, I don't think he'll do well. I think Hopkins will score and get in the end zone this week. I stay away from pretty much everybody else, but keep your eye on Thomas over there. This is going to be his second week in the offense. They did integrate him pretty well against Denver a couple weeks ago before the bye week. Now he's had a couple weeks of practice. He does have some familiarity with the system too, prior to him being in Houston, so he could have an uptick this week. For Washington, I think Alex Smith has a crummy week. I think their running backs do pretty well. I think Peterson will score okay. That pass-catching running back is going to have opportunities this week, whether it's Bibbs or whether Thompson is back. Receivers, I don't like any of them for Washington, but I do like Jordan Reed at tight end. Moving it on, Brad, we have, four games left. We have Denver +7 at L.A. Chargers.
Man, the L.A. Chargers, this is another team that's just kind of on fire.
Yeah, just like you said, man, they started slow, and now they're just winning games left and right.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to go against the grain on this one. These division games. Sorry, never mind, dude. Chargers all the way.
Chargers all the way.
I had a moment of insanity.
Seven to me is a lot. Denver coming off a bye week. I think Denver will cover the spread. Chargers will win the game. That's a computer pick, and I'm going to go with it. Fantasy-wise, I think the Denver offense is going to struggle. I think Emmanuel Sanders is really my only suggested play this week. I don't even make any investment in anything else from a fantasy point of view. I'll take that back. If Royce Freeman plays, I would start him. I think Booker is complete trash, though. So if Booker is playing instead of Royce Freeman at running back this week for that second running back role, behind Lindsey, then I'm staying away from Booker. And then, you got to look at Heuerman, because Heuerman, after Thomas was traded for Denver, he was targeted a ton. He was an impact player. That game against Houston, he could come out and score well, or he could come out flat. But it's somebody that I think he's worth a flyer if you're doing a few daily fantasy lineups and you're looking to stack a few. Put Heuerman into your rotation, because if he has another game where he's getting over 10 targets, that's starting to be a trend, not an anomaly. For the Chargers, I think Rivers has a decent game at a 19. I have Gordon having a great game at a 23. And then the receivers, I think it'll spread it around. I actually have Terrell Williams having the best game of all the pass catchers at a 12, and Keenan Allen's more than an 11. Okay, Brad, moving it to Oakland. Oh, gosh, this is another dumpster game. We have Oakland +4 at Arizona.
Oh, boy. Got to go Arizona, no? I mean, what makes you think Oakland's going to do anything? I'm just going to take Arizona. No more explanation.
Yeah, man, in Arizona, look, they covered the spread. That was another game we got right last week. So that 17-point spread was crazy last week against Kansas City. But they look good, man. The offense has been better since Leftwich has taken over play calling. Javid Johnson's getting the ball in space, which I don't know why McCoy I don't know why he never would have gotten Johnson space. I don't know why these offensive coordinators, take these dynamic running backs and just run them up the middle 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It's crazy. But we're back to David Johnson having value. We're back to Fitzgerald having value. Oakland, Jordy Nelson, I think, just retired, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw it on Reddit. I don't know if that's if that was somebody being funny or if that was a real thing. I didn't get a chance to actually confirm that. But either way, I mean, even if he's not retired, he may as well be, because he's not getting the ball. This Raiders team, man, they're just struggling. They don't seem to like their head coach. I don't like anything about them. I'm with you, Brad. I'm going to take Arizona here to cover. Arizona giving 4 points to Oakland. It's crazy. That's how bad things are in Oakland right now. I don't play Carr in any facet. I have him at a 13. That might be the worst quarterback ranking. Remember, Arizona's defense is pretty good. At running back, I think Martin will do okay for you, but not great. I guess LaFell is probably your best receiver at this point. You know, he might get a 13. And then Cook is probably your only other option there at a 12. But man, Oakland, things are bad there. Sorry, Raiders fans, but you know, like I said,
so bad.
Only 9.5 more years of Gruden. That's the good news, as I've been saying. For Arizona,
you know, hey Sean, you know who I like there? I think is it the owner or the GM that's got that haircut?
Oh yeah,
you seen that thing,
yeah,
dude?
What is the bowl? The bowl. That's the Dumb and Dumber spin you around in a circle and cut.
Yeah.
Oh man. No, I think he cuts his own hair, if I'm not mistaken. But awesome. Yeah, that guy.
Looks
like
you lost a bet. You know, that guy belongs on Making a Murderer. If you ever watched that documentary, those are the worst haircuts of all time.
Oh, my gosh. He'd slide right in there, man.
Oh, my God.
Next season of Making a Murderer, Mark Davis.
Is that his name, Mark Davis?
Well, it is Davis. It's Al Davis' son. I think it's Mark.
Uh-huh. I'm Googling him now. I got to see this
gotta
thing.
Got to Google, yeah.
For all our listeners at home, if you haven't seen him, you got to check this bad boy out.
Add that to your daily rotation. Give yourself a smile.
I don't know if it's Mark. I'll find it.
Yeah, Mike Davis, I don't know. It's a Davis, though, for sure. Yeah. Arizona, in terms of daily fantasy, Webrad's looking for the picture. Rosen, I don't have playing. Like I said, I think you're starting David Johnson, and you can start Fitzgerald now, which is nice. They have value. And I like Christian Kirk, actually, a lot in this offense. This week, I have him as a daily fantasy sleeper. But I'm staying away from everybody else. You can hold off, I think. But Arizona, I think Brad and I are in unison there. Things are ugly in Oakland. Brad, moving it over, we have Pittsburgh -6 at Jacksonville.
Oh man, remember last year when Pittsburgh went into Jacksonville and just got waxed?
I think Jacksonville's averaging in the last, like in 2017, they averaged, I think, 40 something points against Pittsburgh. I mean,
yeah. I'm going to take Jacksonville to cover this one.
I am too, man, just because, I mean, there's just times when teams match up well against other teams. And Jacksonville at home, they seem to have Pittsburgh's defense figured out. Fournette is back now. Bortles looked pretty good last week against Indianapolis. I'm with you, man. 6 to me. Pittsburgh always plays a little bit worse on the road. We talked about it a while ago. You know, Pittsburgh usually plays to their competition. Pittsburgh's been on a tear. I know they have a little bit of a longer rest, but I just think Jacksonville has this offense figured out based on what we saw last year. But I think this will be a nice game, and I think both teams will score. So I have Roethlisberger a play. I have him at a 20, which is probably, you know, average at quarterbacks, but it's nice to see those quarterbacks over 20. I think James Conner at an 18 will score well. You're going to play Antonio Brown every week. I have him at a 15, which is a down week for him, but I do think he'll score well. And Juju Smith-Schuster, I think he'll score well as well. If you're looking for a tight end off of waivers or maybe a daily fantasy sleeper, I think McDonald is a nice one for you this week. Bortles, I actually have outdueling Roethlisberger. I have him at a 22. I have Fournette at a 13, but I probably need to recalibrate. He's probably more at like a 16 if I look at the numbers again. Remember, I used some of TJ Yeldon's numbers to project Fournette. Fournette got in the end zone twice after his return last week. I think he'll score quite well this week. Let's see, at receiver, I don't really have anybody. I think D.D. Westbrook is my favorite receiver for Jacksonville again this week. I said that last week, and he did get the most targets. D.D. Westbrook didn't get a ton of yards, but I just think that he'll have the best opportunity against this Pittsburgh defense this week. You know, Chark might be a nice play if you're looking for a daily fantasy sleeper, but I would not start him on your fantasy rosters. And then let's see, a tight end. You know, I'm not really liking any of the Jaguars tight ends. Although if you play O'Shaughnessy as a sleeper, I think he could get in the end zone this week. He's showing for me that he could be a daily fantasy sleeper. But you know, that's only if you really need a budget player and you play like tons of lineups and you're just looking for a tight end to add into your rotation there. All right, Brad, maybe game of the week here, Monday Night Football, Kansas City, +2.5 at the Rams.
Wow, this is an incredible one, man.
Yeah.
What a game to have on Monday night. Much better than that one we had last night. +2.5. You know, the Rams have, I think they've trailed in the fourth quarter in like 4 or 5 straight games, which to me says they're kind of flying by the seat of their pants or the skin of their teeth, whatever the hell the damn thing is. And I think they should have lost that Green Bay game. I don't think they're as good as Kansas City, and I don't think they're as good as New Orleans or New England, but they are a good team. You know, and I don't think they have much of a home field advantage. It doesn't seem like the crowd is very ruckus, and I think that the KC fans will travel well. I'm going to go KC on this one.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Brad, is a lot of agreement there, one slight disagreement. I would say, and why don't we do this, it just kind of off the top of our heads after we do this, let's do like a little top five kind of power index for both of our teams. You know, again, it's just we haven't put any time into this. It's just going to be off the top of our heads. But I do think the Rams are a little bit better than what you advertised, but I do have them still probably in the top five. I think they're better than New England. That's just my opinion, but they're certainly right there. I'm with you, though, man. Kansas City, I think, has too much firepower. Now, this is another one of those games. This is like a prove-it game to me. We've seen Kansas City in the past start off on a tear, and then they start to kind of subside late in the year. Now, I think Mahomes, the way he's been playing, is the type of quarterback that can keep that thing going throughout the season. I want to see Kansas City come out and punch the Rams in the face, and then I'll know that Kansas City is going to be a force in the playoffs.
Right.
I'm with you, Brad. I agree with everything you said. The Rams have been kind of flying by the seat of their pants and by the skin of their teeth.
Thank you.
Both work. Both analogies work for me. I think the Rams, especially Cooper Kupp now out for the year, that's a big loss for the Rams. He is the move the chains guy. Brad, I was texting you about how this Rams team reminds me of the Green Bay offenses of, like, you know, the low 2010s, like the 2011, 12, 13 offenses.
Right, right, right.
And right down to Cooper Kupp looking a lot like Jordy Nelson to me. You know, just he gets all the crucial catches there. Now, this Rams team is good enough to rebound. Don't get me wrong. You know, they still have Cooks. They still have Woods. They're going to be fine. But Kansas City, I think, has too much firepower. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball in any situation against any defense. I'm taking Kansas City. I'm taking the points and running. And I have already put money on this game. That's how sure I was. I usually don't do my bets until later in the week when I get to look at injury reports. But I've already put money on Kansas City.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I went out because I knew that Kansas City would be getting points in this game. They're on the road and they're playing the Rams. And I just think Kansas City's, man, they're to me, with New Orleans, I think they're top two team in the league. So, like I said, I'm going to take Kansas City. Fantasy-wise, Mahomes is a great play to 27. I know he's going to be costly for your daily fantasy, but he might be worth it this week. I think Hunt will have a nice game. I have him at a 15. That's probably, you know, 90-ish yards, maybe gets in the end zone, maybe doesn't. I think Hill is a nice play at a 17. We'll see what happens if and when Watkins comes back. If Watkins plays, I have him at 11. If he doesn't, to me, that means Kelsey probably gets more targets. I have Kelsey at a 19. To me, that's I think that's the highest tight end. So he is definitely worth a daily fantasy budget, in my opinion, this week. For the Rams, I have Goff having a nice game at a 23. Gurley at his typical 30. I think he's going to score quite well against this Kansas City team. He will be fine. At receiver, look, I guess you're going to play Brandon Cooks. I think you're going to play Woods. We got to see what's going to happen there in with the Rams in Los Angeles to see how they go about replacing Kupp in the system, because he's a big part. And tight end, I stay away from. I think I made the quip last week that everything's great and with the Los Angeles Rams. I keep wanting to say, Brad, I keep wanting to say in St. Louis. So, like, if you hear this hesitation in my voice, this is why I'm like in LA. I made a quip that everything's great there except for the tight ends. And then, wouldn't you know it, both tight ends scored last week. Finally, I think for the first time in the season. So good for those tight ends. But I'm staying away from them this week. Brad, so off the top of your head, man, you know, no pressure here because, you know, certainly we didn't prepare this, but who would be your top five in order if you could?
Okay, I'll go first. You know, I think the Saints, you got to put them at number one because they're so damn hot. And then number two, I got to go New England, even though they don't have the talent of maybe the Rams or the Chiefs or maybe some other squads. They're situationally much better than everybody else, and it's always that way. And it's almost like at the end of the day, that's what ultimately leads to success. So I'll put them at number two. I'll put the Rams at number three. I'll put the Chargers at number four, and then I'll probably have to go Steelers at five.
And you forgot the obvious one of Kansas City. So I know they would be somewhere around that New Orleans for you. Where would they be?
Oh, did I skip them?
Yeah, you skipped them.
Oh, well, let me go back. So,
you went New Orleans, then New England, then the Rams.
Okay. And then the Rams, then Kansas City. And then I'd put the Chargers. Excuse me.
Okay. For me, I would go with New Orleans 1, Kansas City 2. I would go with the Rams at 3. I'm actually going to give the respect nod here. I'm going to go with New England 4. I don't think they're playing as the fourth best team. But, I mean, realistically, if you're in the playoffs – I would basically, I'm looking at this as if they're playing in the playoffs. I think Kansas City would be favored over New England in my head, and in an AFC championship. I would say in a Super Bowl, I would favor the Rams over the Patriots. So that's how I'm looking at it. And then at fifth, I'd be going, I'm with you, Brad. I'm either the Chargers or the Steelers. I guess at this point, I'd go with the Steelers. But the Chargers are right there for me. So it's like basically 5A and 5B. So, yeah, it sounds like we have the same five teams. You know, I'd say Chicago at this point are kind of knocking on the door. We're not believers yet. I think we kind of mentioned that. It's an interesting season. Things are going pretty well. Carolina even could knock on the door too there. Washington, I think they're more pretenders this year with that offense. A lot of good football. A lot of good football to be played too. It's going to be an exciting end of the season.
But Brad, you know, what's funny is there's a few teams on the upper echelon, right? Like there's four like powerhouse teams, and then at the bottom of the barrel you got four just garbage teams, right?
Yes.
49ers, you know, Cardinals, Raiders. I mean, these teams are almost just sad.
Sad. Sad, sad teams.
Even the Browns have three wins, man.
Yeah, I know, and they've been feisty in every game that they've played, almost except for maybe like one or two. So they're not an easy out by any means. So.
No.
Yep. All right, Brad. I think we can tie it up there, man. Good week. I hope everybody, you know, does well. I mean, Brad and I are on a tear, so to take our advice if you're looking for some advice, especially in the daily fantasy. Once again, I suggest going over to Reddit for those rankings. I want to also give a big thanks to our partners at Under Armour and Bet Online. Check the notes down below for further details. Everybody, you know, hope you have a great week. A lot of good slated games this week. It'll be a very exciting week, I think, this week. I'm looking forward to watching all of them, and go out and get paid.